You are listening to a sermon by Laura Erickson, recorded on Sunday, December 15, 2019, at the Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Yeah, what do we do with surprise? It started 10 years ago. Joy to you, and peace, and grace, and the goodness of the Lord. I acknowledge this is a very large topic, and I rewrote it many times. This morning at 4 o'clock, I thought I should have really spoken about John the Baptist. But I didn't change what I had been putting together for 10 years. But it's more of an offering, I think, than even a reflection. I think it's an offering. And when I look at this group of people, I think, how many surprises have we all had, and what do I have to say into this? But I want to give an offering. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of the last 10 years be acceptable, O God, in your sight. Last Saturday, an older friend and I had been talking. We'd been talking about how sometimes life turns out differently than what we had thought way back. So I asked her, so what do you do with surprise? And her answer surprised me. Nothing surprises me anymore. This way, maybe it won't happen. Her response indicates that she maybe had too many changes and surprises. But surprises come in so many packages. Big ones and small, hard ones and happy ones. I have celebrated at surprises. My granddaughter showed up for my 70th birthday and she was supposed to be in Brazil. I have wept at surprises. I have worshipped and wondered, and I have worked because of surprises. I have laughed and I have mourned. Surprise comes in many kinds of packages. And surely the nativity story is full of surprises. Even though Messiah's coming was expected and promised, the actual angel pronouncement words stunned and surprised. It is now. It is through you. It is to you. A Savior is coming. I want to explore three questions this morning. Surprise. What might it look like? Secondly, some of the Christmas characters and how they responded to surprise. And thirdly, what do we do with our surprises? And I want to challenge myself. Does faith in the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow shape our response? So the question, what do we do with surprise? I don't think I chose this title as much as it chose me. Without a simple, unexpected surprise exactly 10 years ago, I doubt if we would be addressing this theme. As I reflect on this a decade later, I recognize that surprise covers an enormous swath of our reality. Who of us has not been surprised, taken off guard? By the grand and the grievous, the joyful and the painful, by the tangible and the mysterious. So first, what do we mean by surprise? Thank you for giving us a correct definition. I'm just going to give you some ramblings of what I think it means. A wise man I know calls it a positive jolt from reality. So many good surprises are like that. But a different description is from the mouth of a four-year-old. It is summer. It is sleepover time. The blackberries are ripe. Willem's number one choice for the day is to visit the bird sanctuary 10 minutes from our home. We know the place by heart, and still he loves to freely roam there. But in the month of August, there is one restriction. The loaded blackberry bushes are only for the birds, not for the visitors. I knew this restriction might be a hard thing for both of us. So this old grandma, thinking ahead, thought maybe if we could find a patch somewhere before we go to the bird sanctuary. And sure enough, we feasted bliss in the blackberry patch. Afterwards, strapping himself into the seatbelt, he mused, "Maymay, when I woke up this morning, I wasn't prepared to pick blackberries before the bird sanctuary. When I woke up this morning, I wasn't prepared for." Is that not a delightful, broad definition of surprise? When Mary got up in her village one morning, she wasn't prepared for an angel annunciation. Joseph was not prepared to face the disgrace which his Mary had brought to them and to their families. Was Zachariah prepared to become dumbfounded on his watch in the temple at the news he would become a first-time dad at an old age? Was Elizabeth prepared for amour and a baby so late in her life? So my personal example of surprise. Kind of shaky. 10 years ago, I was not visited by an angel, but by a different kind of surprise. A small surprise, really. Just a moment. But that surprise moment changed my seeing, and it feels like it changed my life. Almost 100 years ago, Teilhard de Chardin, is that how you say it? A Jesuit priest and scientist wrote, "By means of all created things without exception, the divine assails us, penetrates us, and molds us. We imagine it, the divine, as distant and inaccessible, whereas in fact we live steeped in its burning layers." I felt like that. It felt like that 10 years ago. Just a moment, by means of created things, that the divine assailed me. It was on a grumbly gray day. It was November. I did not want to go to where I was expected to be. Surrounded by the color gray, stopped at a traffic light, my eye all of a sudden caught a flash of color. Crossing my path walked a woman carrying a bag over her shoulder. Simple, ordinary, except for the green spilling out of her bag. Cilantro, I thought. I could almost smell it. I sat up, awake. A pocket of beauty just crossed my path, I said half out loud. I should write this down, I thought immediately. But of course I didn't. Life is too full to follow every impulse. Ask my husband. And yet, this surprise of beauty stayed with me, and I pondered why it had hit me so. Why I was jolted awake by a splash of vibrant green on a rainy gray day. John Terpstra says of such an unexpected experience, it was like a line cast into my being. So what should I do with this lovely surprise? The answer came to me a few weeks later on the last day of 2009 when again a similar experience happened out of the blue. So on New Year's Day 2010, I began a journey of paying attention, of being awake to the unexpected pockets of beauty daily, and to write, record. I will do this for 10 years, I promised myself. A decade to pay attention to something beautiful, as Willem would say, that I was not expecting when I woke up in the morning. Now, I just want to have a little aside here. I'm Dutch, and 10 years, the decades, mean a lot to the Dutch. So when the calendar turns to 2010, I think, oh, 10 years, that's a good number. I probably wouldn't do that again. This is my first volume. This is year number one, and then the volumes increased. You know, there was two the next year, and then three the next year. This year is four. Now, 27 volumes later, I give such deep thanks for what my eyes have seen and my ears have heard, what my heart has held. What did I do with the surprise that left a lump in my throat? I answered, I followed what I felt called to do. I observed, listened, and wrote. What I did not realize at the time was through this habit, I would be changed, and that I was becoming more ready for the hard surprises of the decade, the really hard. Because I had observed the glimmers of grace, the pockets of beauty appearing unexpected. And every day of this past decade, some pocket of beauty came to me. Conversations and contemplations, a hymn, that's why I scroll down the numbers of the hymns, a hug, a happening, words from long ago, and words, fresh words of the very young. Beauty so humble, and sometimes beauty so dazzling. Sometimes beauty is so much more than what we expect. And the Messiah of 2 weeks ago was such an experience. As Rosemary said, it was perfect, but more than perfect. There was a sublime quality to it, and you're taken over with the kind of beauty that you can't even expect. So what do we do with surprise? It seems to me we let it sink in and we answer, both the pleasant and the perplexing. Sometimes we answer as courageously as we can, as bravely. And we answer with humility, with gratitude to the unexpected graces, and with openness to what God might be teaching. Sometimes it takes a long time to answer. Yes, we are often assailed by the material, but we are also touched by the mysterious and the unexplainable. Mary Oliver writes, still, I want in my life to be dazzled, to cast aside the weight of facts and maybe even float a little above this difficult world. I want to believe I am looking into the white fire of great mystery. I cannot think of characters who looked into the white fire of great mystery more than Zacharias and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, shepherds and star seekers. I have considered the characters of the Nativity story in a new way this year. I have asked of them, what did you do with surprise? With the wild announcement that God's entering our world would come through you and to you. When Zacharias got up one morning, he expected to fill his annual priestly duties, not to meet an angel in the temple, announcing of all things that he and Elizabeth were to become parents to a baby boy who would become the forerunner of Messiah. Zacharias was greatly troubled and said so, but the angel assured him, do not be afraid. Elizabeth's response? We have to imagine that. But eventually she expressed wonder, thanks, that God has helped to take away my public disgrace. Joseph's answer to a different kind of disgrace was to quietly break the engagement when he finds out Mary is prematurely pregnant. How would we respond? Perhaps we too would want to quietly deal with the embarrassment and inconvenience which has come upon us, to run, to hide, to cover over, to ask for time to process. That's a kind of answering too. I have wondered how this huge disappointment first impacted Joseph especially, who is described as a man who always did what was right. Yikes! Help, Yahweh! I mean, over my head! But again, like Zacharias, Joseph hears the words, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, disgrace or no disgrace. It is by the Holy Spirit she has conceived. And Joseph did as the angel told him. One simple line. So much courage, so much faith, so much radical trust. I am struck by the steadiness of these characters when their lives were suddenly changed and charged with surprise. There was shock, yes, but there was a rooted strength in the scriptures and in God which held them steady. And Mary, young, innocent Mary, when she woke up that morning, was she prepared for the ultimate angel surprise? Her response, too, was to be deeply perturbed. A baby? Now? Me? I'm a virgin, betrothed to be married. How can this be? Do not be afraid, Mary. This is God's doing. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest on you. Even Elizabeth is pregnant in her old age, for there is nothing God cannot do. What did Mary do with the ultimate surprise? She answered in innocence and in faith, I belong to the Lord, body and soul. Let it happen as you say. And she begins to get ready for what is asked and required of her. I wonder if she held the news from Joseph for a while to protect him from disgrace. The text says, soon afterward, Mary got ready and hurried off to the town where Zacharias and Elizabeth lived. She spent 3 months there without a cell phone, processing and practicing the great surprise of God's coming in the now, in Nazareth, in her body. I am guessing that it is after she returns from the hill country that she tells her fiancé and family the news. For we read, for Joseph, after he heard this news of Mary's pregnancy, did as the angel told him. He married her, and they waited together for this baby's birth. Noble Joseph, innocent Mary, getting their bearings on a new footing. Even though both of these characters were rooted in scripture and in faith, they had to root deeper in God himself, individually and together. My friend Vange said one time to me when we were facing a hard surprise, you've got to get your footing in a new place. What do we do with the unexpected? So many things. And we could share many stories of how we have done this. I reflect with you just some of the things I have been learning. Number one, listen to the stirrings, to a line cast into your deepest being. Answering to the unexpected graces can change your life. Two, God works in surprising ways. By means of all created things, the divine can assail us, call us, mold us. I want to respond with greater openness to the happenings in and around me, to be less afraid, to trust more in the providence of Emmanuel, the Lord Almighty who was and who is to come. Number three, often we have to get our footing in a new place, change our pace and our prayer and our expectations, and this is not easy. We may have to get heftier shoes or dancing shoes, depending on the surprise. Number four, I have learned that courage is contagious. So is joy. We especially need each other when the surprises are hard. Eliza Zweer, is that how you say her name? Wrote this week in her Goshen Reflections. That's what she said. Isaiah 35:4 pivots the narrative from wilderness to joy, from wild places to oases. Verse 4 says, be strong, do not fear. These words, she says, can sound trite in the face of personal suffering or entrenched systems of oppression. Yet, spoken in the context of relationships with God, ourselves, and others, They become a lived response to our questions and to our challenging surprises, softening the edges of our fears. She quotes Reverend Alla Renee Bozarth, quote, "Being able to fully face hard reality depends on the balance between personal integrity and creativity. Integrity looks at something and says what it is. Creativity looks at something and asks, what new thing can come from this?" I think Mary and Joseph, Zachariah and Elizabeth answer their surprise with integrity, creativity, faith, hope, courage. Number 5, and it is this word courage that brings me to tears. Because I want to be brave. I want to be brave. I want to hear and believe and practice the benediction of Revelation 1. Just found it this week. Grace and peace to you from him who loves you, the Alpha and Omega, the child of welcome, as we heard a few weeks ago. I want to end my reflection, my offering, with love words and brave words from a 4-year-old child. It is several weeks ago. His mama is on her way to yet another medical appointment. He is standing at this counter beside his grandmother. We are making lunch together. Mama says goodbye, and I say, "Be brave, mama." He echoes, "Be brave, mama," and the door closes. He pauses, sighs, and speaks. "I love her, so I hope she can be brave. I love her, so I hope she can be brave." And I hear God calling. Amen.